Luke chapter 2, verse 4. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Today I want to talk to you about our response to Jesus. Our response to Jesus. Amen. Would you pray and ask the Lord to speak to our hearts? Thank you, Lord, for your touch. Thank you, Lord, for the ministry of your presence in this house. And Lord, we want to receive what you have for us. And Lord, I want to respond to you in a way that is pleasing unto you. I want you to be pleased with my response, Lord. I pray that you would work and move in our hearts. Have your way in our lives, and we give you all the glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. God bless you. Please be seated today. The holiday season is in full swing. I went to the mall the other day. I go about once a year or less if I can do it. But I went to the mall and it was packed. There was more people in the mall the other day than I'd seen in a long time. Now, maybe it's because it was Black Friday or whatever, but and it wasn't, it was really, everybody was in a good mood, and it just, everybody was excited to be out spending money, and I tell you, this holiday season, it's in full swing. I really think that it's a great thing. Many people are thinking about Jesus more at this time of year than any other, and that's something that we should be thankful for, amen. Most people really don't know the Lord, but thank God for these opportunities that we get to honor our Lord and Savior. And after all, he's worthy, isn't he? He's worthy. Hallelujah. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of being lifted up. Hallelujah. And so, yes, Jesus should be part of our regular daily life, but thank God for the moments during this season when he shines brightly in our world. And people see, yes, there's a lot of busyness and there's a lot of commercialization, but people see past the bustle of the holidays to where we consider that God loved us enough to become like us so he could save us. It was God manifested in flesh. Hallelujah. Of all the ways he could come, the king of the world, yet he was born in a manger. The creator of the universe, but there was no room for him in the inn. It says so much about how we receive him in our lives today. He doesn't force his way in. He doesn't come as a dictator demanding that we make room for him in our lives. He's a gentleman. He's waiting for us to open our hearts to him. Revelation 3 and 20, he says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Have we opened the door to him in our life today? Have we made room for him in our hearts? If we will, he will come in and he will share with us and spend time with us. It's all about our response to him coming. The Bible gives us such wonderful accounts of the Christmas story, and in so many different characters, we see how they responded with faith to the birth of Jesus. We can all learn from them. As we're responding to God's presence in our lives today, let's look together at these accounts of the birth of the Lord, and let's consider how we receive Jesus. Imagine being in Mary's shoes. Imagine that. We read in Luke chapter 1, verse 28, how the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Yes, we can imagine ourselves being in Mary's shoes. Wow. We've just been told we're going to have a baby, even though we're a virgin. What would be our reaction? What would we feel? What would we be thinking in that moment? She was no doubt very surprised. How can this be? How can this be? "But the Holy Ghost shall overshadow thee, for with God nothing shall be impossible." And look at Mary's response. She didn't understand it all. No doubt the call of God was overwhelming to her. This was something that had never happened before. But Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." She received the message of God. She surrendered to his plan for her life. If we could have the same response as Mary, if we could believe like Mary, we may not understand all the ins and outs of what God has called us to do. We may not even see how it's even possible for what God has promised us to come to pass. We may look at our life and just think there's no way that God could use me. But with God, nothing shall be impossible. I want to challenge you today. Let God worry about the details. We just need to make ourselves available. "Here I am, Lord. Use me." Come on, we just need to believe his word. We just need to accept his calling in our life. "God, be it unto me according to your word." That should be our response to Jesus today. "Lord, I accept your will. I surrender myself to you. Have your way in me." Now, if you think Mary was surprised about all this, what about Joseph? Imagine that. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 tells us, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. The Bible tells us Joseph was a just man. He was a righteous man. He was a good man. And when he knew that Mary was with child without his involvement, he wanted to put her privately away. He was a just man. He wanted to do the right thing. He just didn't know that the baby conceived in her was of the Holy Ghost. But the angel told him, he said, fear not. If we could have the response of Joseph today, he believed that this child within Mary was Emmanuel, God with us. He believed that he would come to save his people from their sins, and Joseph trusted and obeyed. Can we trust God today? Can we truly trust God? Has God ever let us down? Come on, has he ever not come through? You might say, well, I'm going through something here today, Pastor. Yes, but just give God a chance. Just keep trusting him. Just let him come through for you. Can we trust God in everything that we're going through today? Can we trust that he knows what's best for us? He knows what's best for our family. Can we trust that he has our best interest in mind? Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. The enemy would love for us to not trust the Lord. In whatever you're facing today, the enemy would love for you to stop trusting Jesus, because he knows that God is working all things for our good. Even the attacks of the enemy. Don't think that God can't take what the enemy meant to destroy and turn it for good. God does it again and again and again. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, keep trusting God. God's not surprised by what you're going through. God's not taken back by the situation in your family. God's not troubled about your trouble today. God knows I am going to make a way for them. If we stop trusting the Lord and try to work it out on our own, we could miss the good that God is wanting to do. Joseph trusted God and he obeyed. Can we obey God today? Even when we don't fully understand? God's not giving us all the details. Well, God, I want to know exactly how all this is. We don't know the future. We don't know how it's all going to play out. We just know what God is telling us to do right now. Amen. Can we trust God and obey? If that can be our response to Jesus, then there is an incredible life in store for us. He has a future that he has designed for us. Something better than what we could ever come up with ourselves. I'm preaching to somebody here today. You need to trust God and obey. You need to just trust God and obey. Stop trying to figure it all out. Stop trying to force whatever it is that you want. And just say, okay, God, you've told me to take this step. I'm going to take this step of faith. You've told me to do this. Well, I'm going to do that, Lord. I'm just going to trust you and obey. I'm going to trust you and obey. I don't know how it's all going to play out in the end, but I trust that you have a will and a purpose for me, and I'm going to obey. Let God do it. Let God unfold his plan for you. Let God lead you today. Trust his will. Trust his plan. Obey his word. God, help us to trust and obey like Joseph. What about the shepherds? When they were in the field and saw the angel, at first, they were afraid. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. They were absolutely terrified. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us go now, go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Have you ever seen an angel? Lots of people think they want to see an angel. But every time an angel shows up in the Bible, people are terrified. They're scared to death. But there was a purpose in it. And the angel calms their fears and gives them the good news, good tidings of great joy. For unto you this day is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. They were told where they could find him. And with excitement, they set off for Bethlehem. And they find him lying in a manger. And when they returned, they were glorifying and praising God for everything they had seen and heard. They were excited to see Jesus. They were excited to find the Lord. Are we excited today? Are we excited to see him? Does it bring us pleasure when we're going to get to be in his presence? Oh, come on. Is there a thrill in our heart when we're on the way to the house of the Lord? Do we still have our passion when we get to see Jesus? If we're unmoved, if we're unexcited, if we're unmotivated about the things of God, maybe we need to put ourselves in the shoes of the shepherds for a little while today. It said they came with haste. They came in a hurry. They weren't about to miss their Savior, Christ the Lord. They weren't dragging their feet. They weren't taking their time. They came with haste. I hope we've not come here begrudgingly today. Well, Mom and Dad are making me go to church. Yeah, I got to go to the house of the Lord. Here it is again. I'd rather go fishing, but here I am going to church. Come on. Oh, no. There ought to be excitement. There ought to be enthusiasm. There ought to be elation coming from us. We get to see Jesus. We get to feel his presence. We get to experience his love and his grace. I can't wait to get to the house of the Lord. I can't wait to hear his word. I can't wait to get to pray. I can't wait to see Jesus. If we will approach the things of God with that kind of excitement, I believe that when we leave, it'll be just like the shepherds, glorifying and praising God for all the things we've heard and seen. Amen. If you're thinking today, well, I haven't seen a miracle in a while, why don't you get the attitude of the shepherds and start coming in? I'm excited. What's God going to do today? Who's God going to bless today? What miracle's going to happen in the house of the Lord today? Hallelujah. Well, Pastor, I'm just not emotional. Yeah, you get emotional about what you want to about. If I came and stomped on your toe, you'd have some emotion. I don't play the lottery, but if I had a winning lottery ticket, and I said, hey, I really can't announce this to the church, but I'm going to give this to you, and it was for $362 million, you'd probably show some emotion. We get emotional about what we really care about. I care about Jesus. How about you? He's the most important thing in my life. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not going to come to church and sit here with no emotion, but I'm excited. I get to praise the Lord. I get to worship Him. I get to feel His presence. I get to have the blessings of God in my life. Oh, come on. Do you want to experience the wonderful and glorious and awesome things of God? Just get the attitude of the shepherds. I'm excited to see Jesus. What about the wise men? Did you know, we don't know for sure how many wise men there were. Now, you know, in our plays, of course, we have three usually because it's because of the gifts. They had three gifts that they were bringing that were mentioned. But there could have been two or three or four. I don't know. What we do know is that the wise men sought the Lord. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, and thou Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Yeah, right. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. The wise men came seeking Jesus. They were looking for him. Their purpose was to find the Lord and worship him. They saw the star, and they knew this was something special. This event was worthy of honor and celebration, and they rejoiced to see his star. I pray that the light of Jesus Christ would shine bright in this world today. Let it shine through us. Let it shine into the hearts of every person in Southwest Missouri. Let us walk in the light of Jesus Christ. Let his light guide us and direct us. Maybe you've heard the saying, wise men still seek him. Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? The wisest thing we could ever do is seek the Lord. The greatest thing we could ever focus on is the pursuit of Jesus Christ. Finding him, discovering his will for our life, receiving his Spirit, being baptized in his precious name. Living in a way that's acceptable unto God. If we want our life to amount to something, if we want our living to be worthwhile, then we need to seek the Lord with everything we've got. Not casually, not just once in a while, but every single day we need to follow after Jesus. Oh, when they found him, they fell down before him and they worshiped him. They gave him their treasures. The most precious treasure we could ever have is to fall down before Jesus and worship him, to respond like the wise men did in worship and adoration, recognizing that this was not an ordinary baby. This is the most important thing that's ever happened in the world. And he deserves everything we have. All of our worship, all of our praise, all of our devotion, all our attention, all our effort. Nothing we give him is too much. What about Herod? The wise men, they saw this, it was an event worthy of honor and celebration. Herod saw it as a way to enact his sinister plan. He'd have the wise men come and report to him where Jesus was, and this king of the Jews, and he would eliminate him. But an angel warned the wise men, and they did not return. Reading in Matthew chapter 2, verse 16, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coast thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, in Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. Herod was troubled by all this. His kingdom was threatened. His will and his plans were at stake here. He was in turmoil to hear that there's a rival to my throne. Where's he at? And his paranoia and his wrath caused him to kill all the babies in that region. How horribly evil. But people today still don't want their kingdom being threatened. They want to rule their own life. And they still respond to Jesus the same way Herod did, with wrath, with anger, with hate. Sometimes you and I get caught up in the middle of all this. People don't even realize it, but they take it out on us. But it's not even about us, it's about him. When they see us, they don't even know exactly what's going on, but they feel conviction. Because they know that they should be doing better. They should be living right. They need to give their life to the Lord. They need to do what's right. But they've never conquered their own will. They've not given themselves to surrender. And their will and their plans are not after the things of God. I pray that's not our response today. Our will has to die. My kingdom has to end. My plans and my dreams, I've got to put them on the altar. Come on, somebody today.
You need to put some things on the altar today and say, it's not about my kingdom. It's not about my will. It's not about what I've desired. I've got to give my life to the Lord. When I see Jesus, I'm going to fall before him and give him everything because I want what Jesus wants for me. Hallelujah. But here's the thing today. When we surrender, when we give our life to the Lord, when we allow whatever he wants to do in our life, he gives us the desires of our heart. Psalm 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God in his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Oh, come on, may that be our response today. Not that of Herod, but we delight ourselves in the Lord. We seek the kingdom of God first so he can add his blessings to us. The angels are all throughout this story. They knew who Jesus was. Mary pondered these things in her heart. Joseph, he trusted and obeyed, but he didn't have it all figured out. The shepherds, they heard the word of the angels. The wise men knew this was special. But the angels knew who Jesus was. We see them worshiping, declaring the good news, rejoicing. Luke 2:13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. There's not much peace in the earth today. We need peace. The world needs peace. We should be seeking peace. Peace with God and peace with men if possible. Only Jesus can bring the peace we need. And the glory is to God. He alone deserves it. There's no God beside Jesus. He deserves our worship and our praise. He deserves for our lips and our hearts to be turned toward him, giving him glory. May we see Jesus like the angels did and give him glory for coming to this earth, for taking on humanity, for dying for us, dying for our sins that we might be saved. And not only dying, but coming back to life, that we can have the hope of the resurrection in our own life. Glory to God in the highest. There is no one higher. There is no one greater. There is no one like our God. There is none more able. Christ our Savior, great and glorious. Hallelujah. Oh, I tell you, Jesus is worth celebrating. He's truly God and truly man. Don't you love him today? Aren't you thankful for his presence in your life? Come on, somebody, lift your hands and magnify the King of Kings. Give the Lord of Lords glory today. He's worthy of praise. He's worthy of worship. There's nobody like our God. Oh, come on, I wish you would lift a heart of praise. I wish you'd lift a heart of praise and worship right now. God, I want to give you everything. I want to give you all my worship. I want to give you all my praise. You alone are worthy, God. There's nobody like you, Jesus. I love you with my whole heart. Amen. If you'd remain standing today. Luke 2:21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child. His name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost, by the Spirit of God, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. I don't know exactly how that happened, but the Spirit drew him at the right time. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna. Anna was a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. And she was of great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years. 84 years she had been a widow, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayer night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of them to all them that looked for redemption in Israel. Simeon and Anna. We have some friends that they named their boy Simeon, their daughter Anna. Isn't that awesome? Simeon, the Holy Ghost hadn't been poured out, but the Holy Ghost was on him. When he saw Jesus, he said, okay, Lord, there's nothing else to see here. I'm ready. Oh, I tell you what, after you've seen Jesus, nothing can compare. Hallelujah. After you felt his love, there's no love like the love of Jesus Christ. When we've experienced the family of God, there's nothing better than this. Not on this earth. And Simeon says, this is what I've been waiting for. This is what I've been looking for. This is what I've lived my life for. I want to tell you today, don't give up on the best things that this world has ever experienced. The presence of God, the people of God, the love of God. Don't be deceived by the enemy and leave the things of God behind and go for something in the world. I tell you, this is the best life. This is the best way. In this world, it doesn't get better than this. God is so good. Hallelujah. Oh, our response to Jesus, when we see Jesus, when we feel his presence, when we have his touch upon our life, it needs to be, hey, this is the best thing I've ever experienced. I don't want to leave his presence. I don't want to miss out on what God's doing, but I want to have the things of God. Is there anybody, you just come to this altar today and say, you know what? I'm going to the altar because I want to have a response to Jesus. I want to respond to his presence. I want to respond to the leading of his spirit. I want to receive what God has for me here today. I want to lay my will and my kingdom and my dreams on the altar today and say, Lord, oh, I've got to seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness. And Lord, I'm going to let you add all the other stuff to me, but I'm going to put you first. I'm going to put you first. Oh, come on. There's a moving of the presence of God here today. How are you going to respond? How will you answer the call of God today? How will you respond to the leading of God's Spirit? Would you give him your heart? Come on, would you give up your life today, Lord? I need you. I need you, Lord. I need you desperately. I need you more than anything else. Move and work in me, oh God.